Hello, you're listening to Laser Graves, a podcast where we dig up movies, music, books, and events from the 80s and discuss how rad they were. Here we go. Welcome back to Laser Graves.
Let's do this.
I am your co-host, EK.
Are we just going by EK now?
Well, I mean, it's...
We're dropping off even your last name and you're just going by two letters?
No. Do people need my full name? That's kind of dumb.
Well, that's what you call people by.
Just every like... Every single time when they're like this many episodes in?
Just like all my friends call me Lord of the Dogs.
All your friends.
Yep.
So, welcome back to Laser Graves.
Hi.
This week, we are coming in strong with a classic.
Straight from the closet.
Definitely from the VHS vault of our personal gold mine. And actually, how I got this on VHS was kind of a surprise because it was at a Salvation Army and it was tucked away... There was just so many crappy films. It was all the like films that nobody would ever buy. And then I noticed the font because I don't know if you noticed this, but
oh, it's cool.
It's absolute quintessential like synthwave font. Yep. That like mirrored kind of miraged. It's like a chrome gradual finish. Yeah. I love the font to this. And I saw it on the side of the VHS case and I was like, there is no way. Went and grabbed it. There it was. And
way.
So it was a score because I love this movie so much. I've been excited to talk about it. This was on the original list of proposed episodes right away.
How many times have you seen this movie?
A few, for sure.
Okay.
I separate it, you know, between chunks of time too, because it's a great film, but it's not so monumentally great that you want to watch it like, you know, every year, every month.
I think twice in a lifetime is plenty.
No, not for me.
Okay, four times in a lifetime.
How many times have you seen it?
Twice.
Yeah.
And I feel good. I feel set.
I don't. I mean, I love this movie so much. It's just a classic.
It is
for
good.
So many reasons.
Yeah.
So this week we are talking about The Wraith, 1986. I know many people have seen it. Maybe some of you haven't, which would make me very happy because go out.
And oh, yeah. Definitely a watchable.
Definitely watch it. It's so much fun. It's got an all-star cast, really. I mean, all of these people went on to have very good careers.
Yeah. Well, not all, but the two main characters?
No, I would say...
Okay, a handful of the cast.
Yeah, it's got Charlie Sheen's our lead.
Yeah, Sherilyn Fenn.
Yeah, Randy Quaid.
And that's where the list comes to a screeching halt?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what's his name? Raghead.
Oh, Clint Howard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but he wasn't like a lead. But yeah, of course.
He's got the most important career.
Anything with Clint Howard is instantly Laser Graves approved. I'll put that out there right now.
Yeah.
We were so excited and watching this, we both turned to each other and like, we should do Ice Cream Man, only to find out it's a 90s film. I thought it was 89 for sure.
So when are we going to do a flash forward, like a time travel and go to the 90s or the 70s? Because
I don't know. We'll need to figure that out. We need to work that out because we've toyed with that a lot of watching or doing episodes on things that are take place in the 80s or 80s like, but didn't actually happen in the 80s. Like, weren't produced in the 80s.
It's tricky. It's too complicated.
I was just bummed when I saw that Ice Cream Man wasn't actually an 89 film. It's like, I don't know when it is, like 92 or something, but...
It was pretty late. I think it was 95.
Was it? Yeah. Well, good old Clint, though. I mean, he's great in everything he does.
Honestly, let's go watch Ice Cream Man and not do this podcast.
Yeah.
Really
okay.
Want to watch it.
We'll be right back.
Bye.
And we're back. Wow, that was so much better than I remember. It's been forever since we saw it. So, The Wraith. Let's talk about The Wraith. Directed by Mike Marvin. He's done some cool stuff. However, Do you know what he did direct?
No, I truly don't know that name.
One episode of Get Ready.
One Tree Hill.
No, it's better than that.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Better than that.
What?
Better than that. Better than that. The Renegade. Your family, your blood.
Oh my gosh.
Your DNA, Lorenzo Lamas. Everybody, we're gonna break it down.
Where are we going here?
Mariah is closely related to.
By closely, we mean.
Like distant. Second cousin.
I think it's like fourth.
It is not like fourth. We're not going to get into it right now. However, Lorenzo Lamas is your on your dad's side?
Yeah. So his Lorenzo Lamas's mom and my grandma are cousins.
There you go. So yeah, your second cousin, right?
No, that would make him my dad's second cousin and him my third cousin. Yeah,
it's still whatever.
Wait, maybe my fourth.
Still pretty cool. And that means Arlene Dahl, his mom, is some relation to you, too.
Yeah. She's my grandmother's cousin.
Okay. Well, anyway, so Mike Marvin
basically
directed an episode twins. Of The Renegade is what that story was about.
Wow.
So you should feel like, you know, he's worked with your family.
Okay.
In the biz.
Oh. Okay.
So, yeah, The Wraith. Let's get to it. 86.
Oh, diving in.
Oh, yeah. Let's we've got a lot this. To talk about. It opens right away. I don't know. I've never seen it like a digital, like Amazon. I've never streamed it.
Oh.
Because we have a VHS copy. And we have the Lightning Video one, which before the movie even starts, it does the cool like Lightning Video logo. And I'm already super excited about it. And then it opens, and that title card, like we were saying, with the font, that kind of chromed finish that every synthwave band tries to replicate.
And the this A is, the real is like deal. Big and pointy.
So cool. So extra it starts, wavy. And we immediately get kind of like a Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
It's like a meteor shower.
Yeah, but they're like zipping around these lights
in the
forest.
Desert.
In the desert, and and then they all come together like at a crossroads and they smash into each other.
I actually wrote alien drag racing?
Kind of, yeah. And they smash in and then we get the ultimate 80s car, which I'm not saying this just because this is like, it's the cool thing to say if you like The Wraith. The car in this movie is so cool. This is like the 80s cool car.
I wrote fancy and black car, I guess.
It was a real car, by the way. So I read up on it.
Did it have the electrical engine?
Yeah, all that's like, it was insane. You know how much that car costs?
One pajillion with a P. Pajillion.
Well, if you could make it an M instead of a P.
Coins.
Coin, yeah.
One pajillion coins.
It was doubloons. It was $1.1 million per car, and they had 7 cars for the set.
Oh, this makes me angry.
There's their budget.
This
right
makes
there.
Me super angry. Okay.
So the cars that crashed, though, in the movie were just shells. They just made the exterior look like them. And then the rest of the cars, it could get up to 194 miles per hour.
Why would you make that?
Pretty awesome. However,
what?
Did you notice
dangerous.
At the end of the film it said, in memory of?
Yeah.
Because one of the camera guys died. The car tipped over. Uh-huh. It was, like, heavy loaded with the camera equipment. I don't know if he, like, went over the cliff on those roads or I don't know how.
Oh.
But he died on the set. So
no.
That's, yeah, it's kind of sad.
Well, I mean, what did they expect?
Yeah.
Shame on them for making this movie.
But this car, we get it right away. The stars align, literally. They come together. They shoot, morph into the ultimate 80s car called the Turbo Inceptor.
Oh, and, they had a name?
Yeah, it's like the Turbo Inceptor or the Turbo Interceptor or something. That's the name of it.
Okay.
And then the driver who... How do you describe this driver?
So he comes out, he's standing, he's backlit. There's like somehow like mist or fog, even though we're
this
in
is like everything about the 80s.
Even though we're
movie.
In the desert. I mean, I know the desert can get fog, don't even, but it wasn't a foggy night in the desert. But he's backlit, foggy.
What if
wearing oh go ahead.
What if the little alien beams of light that zipped together to crash in to form the car, those were the dust clouds that they created coming all together.
Oh, like alien fog machine laser light show?
Well, like it was dust. It was dust instead of fog because it was in the desert.
Okay. I believe
okay,
that.
Okay, anyway.
I hope they don't get, what is it, desert fever? Basin fever?
I'm sure that was not a concern.
Okay.
So what does he look like?
Okay, so he's got on like pleather, you know, pants and a jacket and a black shiny helmet. But what's interesting is all of the tubing. So there are tubes coming from the helmet into this pleather jacket, into the pants. Are they giving oxygen? I don't know. There's no oxygen tank. There's just tubes connecting things.
Yeah, it's like a post-apocalyptic black leather version of RoboCop is the way I see it.
Because
he's got like these guns and this helmet.
Are there guns?
Well, especially later in the movie, he's got like these really high-tech guns that he... Remember, he shoots up the place. Anyway.
I thought... Okay.
Well, okay. Let's just...
All right.
Let's just lay it out right now for everybody. You slept through so much of this movie. So much. And then you woke up and you're like, it's cool, I've seen it. And I'm like, okay, well, we're doing a podcast on this, so...
Here we go. We're doing it anyway.
When you say, really, was there? I'm just going to go, yes. You'll just have to trust me on this one.
All right. I'll believe it.
I thought he was kind of like a black leather version of RoboCop.
Okay.
Anyway,
like
so we get the 80s car, the driver, and then the opening credits... it's basically an 80s jam, and it's like a rip-off of The Danger Zone. It's kind of like a Kenny Loggins kind of rip.
For sure.
Yeah, and they're saying something about fire. I didn't care too much to look it up.
This wasn't the, like, secret loser?
No, definitely
that
not.
That was Laser?
Yeah, I would never say that. Okay, we'll get there.
Okay, so there's a couple driving through the desert, snuggling, mm-hmm. being just an 80s. They're supposed to be, like, a teenage couple, I guess.
Yep.
But they're both, like, 32.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, some cars come up behind them. It's at night.
They chase them down.
It's, like, in the desert, long strip of road. They chase them down, and it's, like, these thugs that are coming up.
Yeah, they have, like, a roadblock situation where cars are parked across the highway in front of them, so they have to stop as they're being pursued by others.
And they hop out, and we meet our gang, who is...
It's a ragtag weird group.
Yeah, they're kind of like... I got the impression they were childhood friends.
Oh, okay.
Because you know how, like...
There's, like, a...
You know, like, if you're in high school and you get together with your clique, everybody looks the same, but if you're, like, in a group of friends that you grew up together, one's, like, a jock, one's kind of, like, a tweaker in this film.
Yep. One's like, a homeless person.
Yeah, it's, I was like, oh, these guys must have been childhood friends. And the main guy, his name's Packard, the, like, leader of this gang, jumps out, and he's basically... They're driving around looking for trouble, and they just want to race people for their carts, like, Fast and Furious style. By the way, Packard's jacket, when he gets out, dude, I'm sure we're like one of a billion people have seen this
movie.
It's
like a leather jacket. Obviously, we would want pleather, but there's like a cow skull and flames on the back patch. It's rad.
Yeah, it's like a metal version of a Georgia O'Keeffe painting.
Oh.
Right?
Yes.
Like if Georgia O'Keeffe like got into Norwegian black metal and walked down the street, she'd be wearing that jacket. Okay, so it's basically the Fast and the Furious scene, and what we get when they're racing is Ozzy Osbourne. This got a good soundtrack. It's like half and half. I'll get to that later.
It's like a 50% soundtrack.
Yeah, but it is Ozzy blasting as they're racing down the street. And then there's a lot, it's a pretty long scene of like a lot
it's
of
so long.
Unnecessary swerving. It's very 80s action.
They're racing. Well, the whole premise, too, is that they force this guy to race, and if he loses, he has to give up his car, and they're also threatening to rape his girlfriend.
Yeah, kind of, but they're kind of like, if you want to protect her, you're going to race me and give me your car. If you say no, we'll just take everything anyway.
They're also groping her and kind of...
Yeah, I mean, well, they're a street gang. They're like a thug gang that doesn't care about anything.
Well, he's a skank.
So they're swerving around, they're racing, and then the guy's about to win, actually, and then there's some cheating on their part. And he comes back and he's like, I would have won. You guys are nothing but road pirates is what he calls them.
Yeah, road pirates.
And I love that term. I don't know. I've never picked up on it as much as I did this time.
Perhaps if I ever leave Lord of the Dogs, I'll go to road pirate.
Road pirate. There you go.
We'll see.
We'll put it in the column of possible other nicknames.
Monikers, yes. Okay.
So the road pirates are like, well, it doesn't matter. And then the guy is really giving him a hard time. Like, you guys are cheaters. You guys are lame, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, Packard looks at him and is like, get walking while you still have your lips attached to your face.
I know. What were they going to do to his lips?
I don't know. But this film has so many fantastic one-liners.
Yeah, it really does.
Especially,
I couldn't even write them down.
Dude, when Randy Quaid enters the mix, I'm like, I didn't even try and write them down.
Nope.
Because everything out of his mouth was like classic one-liners.
Well, that's all Randy Quaid does with his whole life.
That's true.
He's hilarious.
He can figure out.
Some things for himself.
So then flash forward after that scene, it's the next day and we're introducing Charlie Sheen.
Oh, yeah. He's cruising in.
His name's Jake. He's on a motorcycle and he...
It's a soft J. It's Jake.
You know what? For all that we know now, looking back on this, dude, he was a hunk, man. He's like a cool looking dude.
It's all the tiger blood.
It is tiger blood for sure.
He was hashtag winning.
He was hashtag winning in this from day one.
That was too easy.
He looks good, man. He was like, man, Charlie Sheen's a hunk. And then he pulls up to see like ultra 80s babe.
Oh, yeah. Sherilyn Fenn comes out of her house wearing basically a t-shirt and a belt.
And some white cowboy boots.
Oh, it's fabulous. She is like...
She looks great.
Oh, yeah. She's so cool.
Yeah.
I want her hair. I want her shirt belt. All of
that. You want her little mole on the side of her face. You want it all.
I don't want that. No, because now anytime I see facial moles, I'm sorry. I think of that Austin Powers where it's like, mole, 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 mole.
Mole,
mole. It's unfair. Sorry if you have a facial mole.
We did it on this. Have we quoted Austin Powers yet?
From now on.
I feel like we've quoted Ace Ventura, but we've crossed over now into
better.
The Austin Powers.
What's worse? Like, if you're going to put them on a scale, the scales of justice, which one's heavier? Heavier being bad.
Austin Powers.
I don't know. Think about when he comes out of the fake rhinoceros butt.
That's
and Ace Ventura.
So funny when he's like... trying to gather his breath. So great. Okay, so Jake and Carrie are our leads. Ultra hunks and babe. And she hops on his bike right away.
She's like, hey, stranger.
Hey, stranger, I'm going to totally hang out with you.
It's the 80s. I don't feel threatened.
Instant attraction, which, you know, can you blame her? Like, they were meant to be a couple. And
he
then,
has no shirt. She has no pants.
And
get
he's
on
like,
my motorcycle.
Oh, you know, what about a boyfriend or something? And she's like, I got no boyfriend. And then we see Packard, the road pirate, and he is pissed. He's already kind of staring from a distance.
Yeah.
He's pissed that they ride off together.
No, because she has to get off of the motorcycle,
oh,
remember?
Oh, that's when he sees
him. He pulls up. Yeah. And she's like, oh, no, never mind. And hops in off of the motorcycle.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. And then
he's
like,
this.
Later, babe. And then just takes off.
He's like, nah, no problem.
And then they drive to a watering hole where there is
a swimming pool.
It's like
a swimming hole.
Well, it's like a canyon with a little.
Where is that? I want to go there, but minus all of the teenagers.
It's very southwestern. Like, those are everywhere. And so, well, you know, the rivers. With the canyons on the side where everybody goes and dumps into. It's like every teen and college student for like miles around.
Also, yes. And this is a point we need to touch on briefly. So they say the name of the town, which I've totally forgotten.
Tucson.
No. population 6,000 something.
All right. You were writing a note. And I'm like, cool. She's writing this down.
Yeah. I don't remember the name of the town, but
so
I wrote,
write it down.
Why are there so many teenagers in this town?
It's true.
It's a town of 6,000 something.
Yeah.
There should be like 40 teenagers.
Heavily, heavily bombarded by scantily clad teens.
Who are all babes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. They're
every
all
single
babes.
One, like past a measurement, like a tape measure weight challenge.
I just wrote babes as far as the eyes can see.
So babes and cacti.
And Charlie is tanning. He's on his stomach tanning like you do in the 80s. And he has scars
on his back.
Yes, which I will talk about later because I was like, what?
How
didn't
do these
get
make
it?
Sense?
I had to read the fun facts on IMDb to put that together because it was still, after multiple viewings over the years, still unclear. And I'm like, Oh.
Are they angel wings?
No.
Where they were
Although
clipped
that
off.
Would have been great.
I kind of thought, are these supposed to be angel wings?
No, they're
off?
They're more practical than that, although okay. It's completely not obvious until I tell you.
Life-saving measures.
No, we'll get to it later.
Okay,
so he's got scars. And then Jake meets this guy who is like, man, my brother was murdered. And there's some implication that it was Packard and his gang that murdered him for, like, out of jealousy.
For sleeping with the girl.
Yeah, because the brother was with the girl, was with Carrie, Sherlyn. Yes. And so then we get some more street pirates. And, of course, as they're being shown, Motley Crue starts playing. And this is when I realized the theme in the soundtrack, which is a really good soundtrack 50% of the time, is it's heavy metal every time the street pirates are doing something. Yeah. But it's like 80s ballads kind of when it's like Charlie Sheen. Or
they got the rights to some songs and then they had somebody weird write
so
the rest.
I had a thought, which was I would love half of the soundtrack. And then I realized I own every single song already.
Oh.
So I could...
make your own.
Absolutely, 100% put together my own soundtrack. Motley Crue's playing, smoking in the boys' room.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought this was the guy from Sometimes They Come Back, but it's not. But he hops out, and this is where we start to really meet the street pirates.
Is this where we meet Skank?
Yeah, Skank.
And Gutter Boy.
Gutter Boy. And Rughead.
Yeah.
Is Clint Howard.
But this
who
is
looks
this...
like a racer head. That's got to be intentional, right?
No. So is this where Packard instructs them to follow Charlie Sheen?
Well, no. He sees Jake and Carrie floating down the stream
floating
together.
Floating and flirting.
Yeah, and he is pissed. And then this is then flash forward to the coolest hangout in the world, Big K's Burgers.
Yes. So it's like a roller skating burger place, like drive-in.
It's everything that's right. I would live here. If I lived in this town, you would find me at Big K's.
If they had veggie 24/7. Burgers, nonstop.
Oh, just even getting like a drink, because it's just like babes on roller skates, dudes with muscle cars. Like it's the place to be. If you're a teen in a small town, don't... What more do you need? It's Big K's Burgers as a teenager. That's where you're hanging out. And clearly that's where everybody is. Although Addicted to Love is playing.
Huh. I mean, how did they get the rights to all these songs?
They got some big songs. And those cars are expensive, too. And so, yeah, Clint Howard, Rughead. Man, he's amazing in this. I love him. He's such a character actor. Like, he is, to our kind of... our scene, the people who love like cult cinema and horror films, when that guy dies, it's going to be...
Why does he not have a bigger following? Or maybe he does.
He does. It's just very low key, but he's just so great. I love that he's in this. And I am going to say, I think it is a throwback to Eraserhead.
Okay.
Because his hair...
Why don't you add him in this episode and we'll see if he responds.
Ooh, yeah, maybe.
Clint Howard, tell us.
Tell
is
us.
Is this your eraser?
Was this what you were channeling?
So
he's very Clint Howard in this role already.
So we're at Big K's Burgers, and then after work, Carrie is getting a ride home from her work friend, Billy, who happens to be the guy that Jake was talking to at the swimming pool, the guy with the murdered brother.
Yeah, and Packard is like, dude, I'm going to race anybody.
He boxes them in.
Yeah.
So... okay, so basically Packard's that guy, like, I'm Lord of the Dogs, so imagine the dog that isn't the dominant male but wants to be and just begins humping everything's leg. It's kind of what this guy's, like vibe
peeing
is.
Peeing over everybody else's pee.
Yeah, he just spends a lot of time.
He's
a lot of energy.
Super possessive, so if anybody even looks... okay, here's the thing. If you drive a cool car and you look at her, you're going to lose your car to the road pirates.
Or if you have a car, you might just take it.
So he's like, you're going to race me right now. And then all of a sudden we see the Wraith pull up, like the car.
Yes.
The black car pulls up and it is super rad.
And an engine revs.
Yeah. And Packard and his gang is like, whoa, wait, we got let's go get this one instead.
Forget Billy's junky
gotta
yellow
have it.
Car.
And Augie, who is one of the gang, is like, let me have him. Let me take this
My
one.
My turn.
Yeah, and jumps in.
My turn, Pappy.
Goes for the race, and then we get a race, a classic 80s race scene. And then after a while of racing and racing and racing...
The police come upon them.
Yeah, they come upon him, and then the Wraith pulls this old trick that he'll do a couple times, where the car parks. All of a sudden, Augie's car, like, can't stop in time.
Yeah, he, like, the Wraith blocks the road.
Yeah, runs into him. Massive explosion. Uh-huh. His car blows up, and then all of a sudden, the Wraith's car, like, lightning reappears.
Yes.
Totally untouched.
And cruises off. The bad guy has died. Augie.
Yeah, and the cops come.
Dead.
This is where...
This is enter Randy Quaid as the sheriff.
I love Randy Quaid. So he comes in. The cops are looking. There's this... Okay.
What?
There's this scene where these two, like, you know...
The, like, ambulance people?
Yeah. They're looking down. So this car has been blown up and then fallen down the side of a...
Like a boulder
massive
cliff.
Yeah, canyon. It's in flames on the bottom of a canyon. And these two guys look over... And one of them looks at the other and goes, do you think he made it? I'm like, what the hell are you even talking about at this point?
Yes, he's fine.
Then Randy Quaid walks up, immediately is just firing off the one-liner. Cram it, wise guy. Like, he's just got, man, he is all in.
He's
acting
salty.
His ass off in this. He is so funny.
He's very salty. He's hilarious. And he also has a gap in his teeth, which I appreciate.
He just makes me laugh so hard in this movie, in every movie he's in.
Yes.
And then we see Augie's body. They pull it out, and he's got, like, these black eyes.
Yeah, he's fine.
He hasn't been burned. In, like, a thousand pieces.
It's like the explosion only exploded into his eye sockets.
Which would not be the last time this happens.
And the rest of him is blue.
Yeah. He's dead. They're, like, freaked out. And then we see the Wraith is up on a cliff, like, staring down at them, watching them.
It would have been really a good time for an evil laugh, like an, ah, ha, 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 ha.
Yep.
And maybe a lightning bolt.
Then, flash forward next scene, we get some Carrie and Packard, like, nonsense. I just didn't care.
Apparently Carrie cares that Augie has died.
Yeah.
Even though he's been, like, actively participating in this guy Packard stalking her and controlling her. And then... that we have the blood lovers scene too, where they're Packard has forced Carrie into his car and he like cuts her hand with a knife.
Yeah,
and he's like, "We're blood lovers now." And then
blood lovers? I didn't catch that.
I don't know if he does actually. I just wrote it.
Oh,
and then he cuts his own hand severely with a knife and was like dripping blood everywhere. And then
he's not the smartest guy.
Yeah, like he cut himself badly enough that I feel like he probably cut some tendons, but whatever.
He's probably that guy who did it out of like in the heat of the moment and then he goes home and he's like, this really hurts.
Yeah, he does that. The like, owie.
Yeah.
And then she goes, well, I don't love you. And
oh, she's harsh. She's like, look, I will never be with you. And it is not making him happy.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of where we learn they're not a couple with a bad relationship.
No, he's just obsessed with her.
He's obsessively, like, controlling her life, and she has no recourse.
Yeah, and he'll take, like, anything in his path.
Yeah, it's like an insane stalker situation.
It is really weird. And then we go back to his garage, Packard's garage. It's like a chop shop.
Yeah,
like, this is where they take all the cars and
break them down,
and they use them. And the Wraith shows up, and man, his entrance.
Oh, yeah.
The door opens, the fog, the like, lighting behind him. This is, all I could think of is this, coupled with, like, Night of the Comet, is, like, a synthwave dream come true. Because it's the neon colors, the fog, the look, it is straight.
Yeah.
It does not get any more 80s, like, synthwave than this.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I love everything about it.
It could have been a full music video.
Absolutely.
Like, Madonna could have skipped out, or better yet, Kylie Minogue could have, rolled out from under a car and, like, gone off. And I would have been 100%.
And she would have had an Australian accent.
Oh, here we are again.
So, I won't do it. I'll just save it. So... It's epic. Anyway, his entrance, his fashion, everything. And then Rughead has this moment where he looks into his visor and there's like a flash where he sees Jamie, who is the brother
of Billy.
A Billy who was killed.
Yes.
And he's like, wait, what? And then he's got this moment where he's like, wait, what's going on?
Yeah, he has insight.
And then before you know it, the Wraith pulls out this like cyber shotgun thing and just starts shooting up the place.
He wails on the chop shop with his gun.
And Packard, for all his like posturing, just takes it. He's just looking confused the whole time. He's like, got that angry like, aw, man.
Yeah. At one,
why are you shooting everything, man?
At one point, is he spread eagle on a car?
Well, I'll just say sure. Okay. I don't know.
I feel like he is, but maybe I fell asleep. I don't know.
Yeah, he's got, so he's shooting up the place. And then there's this scene where they look up and Skank, who's like this massive tweaker, he like huffs a lot of stuff and he's on drugs all the time. That's what's implied.
Yeah. Also, they call him Skank, but he often has skunk-like hair color. Like he has a mohawk.
Yeah.
And often the tips are white and I wonder why they didn't call him Skunk.
Skunk.
Okay.
So he's like perched up on this upper level.
He's just like, like squatting out in like a beam.
Yeah, he's doing like nature's method and squatting. And they look up at him, they're like, Skank, who is this guy? And he says, I don't know, but whoever he was, he's weird and pissed off. And I don't know if you probably didn't, but it's kind of a little throwback to the Thing.
Like, I caught it.
Okay. So I thought it was pretty funny. And then we go to the next day. Randy Quaid visits a really cool
It's like for airplane parts?
It's like a bomber graveyard is what you'd call it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, good call.
Like World War... Well, they have them around the West a lot. Because my dad worked at an F-4 one.
We should work at one and make it our home.
They're really cool. It's like where they would take all the old decommissioned World War II...
I feel like you could make a rat
bombers.
Ass.
Yeah. Well, they're there. It's such a cool set. Like, smart on the casting, like the location.
Yeah, so the Randy Quaid, the sheriff, comes out there to see the uncle of Skank.
Yeah.
Who works there.
Skank and Gutter Boy are there. And no, I think it's Gutter Boy's uncle. And
oh, okay.
Randy Quaid is saying so many one-liners. I can't.
It's rapid fire.
I wrote a note to look him up later, and then I realized I just couldn't.
Yeah, it's
it
too
was
many
like,
words.
I did write down, though, nose gold at some point. He says nose gold.
He does for drugs. Say nose gold.
But he's questioning them, and they're all like tweaked out, and they're like, ugh. And then we go back to Big K's, where everything happens. And so at Big K's, they skate up and they put those window trays with the burgers and fries. Do you remember window trays?
Yeah, I do.
I loved window trays.
Let's open up a restaurant.
When I was a kid, like my mother and I would go and we would grab lunch sometimes, like when my dad was at work, like over the summer. And we would get, there was quite a few drive-ins in our town.
Hi-ho.
Yeah, Heidi Ho. There was the A&W place. I mean, obviously Sonic, but there were like more local ones.
I wonder if these disappeared because of scratches to cars, because the one in this movie was metal.
I don't know, but I loved when they would put the tray out because they would put one on my side and one on my mom's side. And then I would be able to just sit there and it would always be like really nice weather with the windows down in the car. And we would just sit there and eat a burger. And I loved it. I just had good memories when she put the tray on his car. And then Packard is with the road pirates.
Whoa, hold on. This is where Sheriff Randy Quaid lost me. He got his burger. He opened it up.
I could physically feel your disgust next to me when this happened.
I was like, I don't care what happens to Randy Quaid forever now. Because he opens his burger and he takes off the only important... Well, there are two things that are important to a burger. One is pickles and one is ketchup. And he throws all of the pickles on the ground. And I was like, what? What? And I was like, throw them into my mouth. What are you doing?
I know. I looked over at you and I was like, oh, she's not going to take this well.
As a little, like, to clarify, today I ate so many pickles that I thought, have I had too many pickles? Because I think I ate 4 whole pickles today.
Oh.
So for him to waste a pickle, I was alive then. I could have eaten his pickles.
Speaking of pickles, I heard something today that I had not heard before. Apparently, back in the day, there was a survey, mm-hmm. a popularity contest survey between a Nickelback and a pickle, and a pickle won.
Well, anything in a pickle.
Okay, so anyway, Packard's crew rolls up, the Road Pirates. They're trying to figure out the Wraith. Skunk's car, by the way, or Skank's car, says airborne, and it's got Death from the Skies written on it.
Almost Death from Above.
I know, almost. Sorry. And you're just going to fall asleep during this
episode?
Well,
this is about where I fell asleep during my notes, so okay. I just have to head that way.
This is the kind of quality entertainment we bring you, is where your hosts fall asleep during what you're listening to.
Oh, whatever.
So Skank's car, not only does it say Death from the Skies, but it also, did you see on the side, it had little white car silhouettes for all the cars it had destroyed, like a bomber.
No, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, like a World War II fighter jet that puts the little targets. It had little cars on the side for all of them that they had destroyed. I thought it was so funny.
That's really good.
I want a little model of that car for out in the garage. But
this is also where Packard tells Carrie to do herself a favor and be there when he gets back.
Yeah. And then there's a car race, but now it's a guy named, I think his name's Minty. It's one of the, third level.
There had been a mystery note left, I'll be waiting at, the 11th hatchback of Camelback Mountain or something.
Yeah, and Minty's like, I'll take him this time, and they're go get him. And then a song called Never Surrender by a band named Lion is playing, and I was like, oof, wow. And then there's a long car scene. These are pretty long. If you're into fast racing 80s car scenes, this is the movie for you.
This is also if you want to fall asleep during a movie where it will happen. Sheriff Randy Quaid at this point, also he was at the burger shop.
Yeah.
So he just is like, okay. And he slaps his little stick on thing on the top of his roof, the light, and follows them.
Yeah. And the huge car race goes on forever. And then the Wraith pulls the same exact trick. He's like, I know it'll work. Parks in the middle of the road when he doesn't see him. Uh-huh. And the car slams into him again. It's the exact same move. Runs into him and blows up. The car reappears in cool 80s fashion. Then starts driving, and the cops, Randy Quaid's
they block him.
They set up this massive roadblock. And then the car, as it's driving, starts to get these lightning jitters.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Cool little lightning effects.
That's what happens when I drive.
Yeah. That's exactly what happens.
The speed limit or 5 miles over at max.
It's what happens when I'm driving really fast because I have to go to the bathroom, and I can't find a bathroom. My car just starts to
lightning.
Get these little shoots of lightning, and everybody's like, look out, move over, let that guy by. He's got the poop shivers. And so the little lightning bolts. So he pulls the same trick. He blasts through the roadblock, and then the car disappears into the sky.
Yeah.
And the cops
obviously.
Are like, huh? Also, the scene here of Tucson, the desert scenes. They're really cool. I think maybe it's just because we're living in the Southwest now.
I would agree. But... And also, I was telling you this as we were watching last night.
Oh, yeah.
So we went to visit the girls. Our daughters and I went to visit my grandmother who lives in Arizona. And there was a big snowstorm, which was kind of shocking because I assume all of Arizona is never below 55 degrees. But I was wrong. So anyway, we were down south and we had to take an alternative route back because so many of the roads were blocked off, by the storm. So we ended up going through Globe on our way back to New Mexico. And it's a beautiful drive from the Mesa, Arizona to, Globe. And I think that's where they filmed a whole bunch of this because there's these windy roads with huge boulders, and I kind of recognized it. So, perhaps Arizona has a lot of that kind of terrain. I don't really know Arizona well, but I kind of think that's where they filmed.
I think so, too. Because
outside of, the Globe area.
Well, and all the filming locations were around Tucson, too, so that makes sense.
I don't know how far we were from Tucson, honestly. It couldn't have been that far.
I don't... Yeah, it couldn't have been because Globe goes... down by Tucson, doesn't it?
It's a little, I think it's where we were was a little farther north, but it couldn't have been much.
I just imagine Well, like, clearly there are none right now, but in the future, if anybody was actually from Arizona and listening to this podcast, they would just be like, no, you don't understand.
Understand my state and our roadmaps.
Car blows up, car disappears, mm-hmm. And then we're back at Big K's, and it's after work, and Jake picks up Carrie on his motorcycle.
Yeah, she's getting a ride.
And they run off.
And then Gutter Boy and Skank.
Yeah, they spot him, and they're like, oh, boy.
We gotta follow.
Yeah, we gotta get him. And so they take off after him.
Down an alley with more boxes than...
Oh, there's so many boxes.
How many boxes can they hit? Because I think they hit 1 billion.
It's like they drove down the loading bay of...
Box City.
Of Box City, USA. also, I did make a note here. This is very hard to do, but Gutter Boy is overacting to a degree that I've never seen before. When you are in a film with Clint Howard and you're outshining Clint Howard with overacting, like, you're doing something special.
So, question. If we pitted him against the guy who plays the Fawn in The Sorceress, who would win?
I'll throw this back at you. Don't even worry about that, because would you watch that movie?
Oh, my.
Gutter
As
Boy.
As a buddy film.
Gutter Boy and the, like, what are they called? Satyrs or whatever?
That, well, he was a Fawn.
No. I looked it up.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
What a weirdo you are. So they walk through. There's, like, a blue portal in each of their worlds. And then they walk through it. And they enter a new reality where there's a Fawn man and Gutter Boy.
And as Gutter Boy's tweaked out driving and hitting boxes, the Fawn is playing his pan flute.
Yes.
As, like, road music.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Okay. I'll watch that.
So that was the
I will fall asleep to that movie. Okay.
Okay, moving on.
Gutter Boy
gets a shotgun.
This is a really weirdly long driving through an alley hitting boxes scene. And this is honestly where I started to fall asleep.
Yeah, I wrote right here, Mariah starts to fall asleep.
Yeah, I was like, I can't watch this alley anymore.
Well, basically all that happened that you missed, well, you didn't really miss anything. Gutter Boy gets a shotgun. They try and track him down. It's pretty extreme. I thought, like, damn, they're, like, going to shoot them on the motorcycle. That was their plan. But then their car flips and they slide out of their, like, the wreckage, and Skank starts huffing some cans and is like, all right, man, I'm ready to go again.
And then Jake drives Carrie home and they smooch as Tina Turner blasts.
Yeah. No, it's not Tina Turner. It's Bonnie Tyler.
What?
Like Closer Eclipse or the Eclipse of the Heart. But it's Matters of the Heart is what's playing.
Okay. Whatever.
It's Bonnie Tyler, dude. It's like ballad. Every time they're on screen, it's a ballad.
What's love got to do?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's metal for the road pirates. It's ballads for this group. Jake turns into stars and shoots off as he drives away. Did you see that?
Yep.
So he drives off and he's just like, and just shoots into the sky as Packard follows him home.
And so, Packard's getting emotional.
His life is he's been emotional since day one.
He's got repressed feelings.
He just needs a hug. And then, so the Wraith out of nowhere rams into Packard's car. Like, as he's watching what's going on, he met Skank and Gutter Boy come up, and he's like, man, you look like shit. And then the Wraith out of nowhere comes, slams Packard's car, and pushes him into a graveyard nearby.
Awkward.
Where he gets out and sees Jamie's tombstone. So the Wraith has pushed him in to see what he's at. Also, this is the shot, the graveyard shot, is like the lighting and the fog. And, oh, man, it is so cool, 80s. I just love this movie.
My notes on this are Packard whines and, oh man, I fell asleep. So
yeah, I wrote Mariah dozes off and then you woke up and said, I'm awake. That's what I wrote. And then I also wrote, at one point there's like music playing and you're doing, you know, when you start to fall asleep, but pretend you're not falling asleep and you do the headbang where you, like, your head falls and catches and falls and catches.
Yes.
And it was like you were headbanging to the music.
Oh, that's handy.
It was cool.
So, sorry about that.
Yeah, well, what you missed
was
a horribly unsexy sex scene.
I wrote sex scene by who?
Packard and some girl. And then Randy Quaid walks in and is like, you need to come downtown. Yeah, it's really weird.
Awkward. Does it go back to sunbathing at this point?
No.
Oh.
And then, but I did like, just because I'm a nostalgic person, the tracking in this scene on our VHS started to go out. And it just kind of makes me happy when the tracking starts to go a little.
Isn't that weird? Because it used to make you so angry.
Yeah, now I'm like, oh, this is great. Then we go to the watering hole. So yeah, it's okay. after he's told them to go home. Carrie and Jake are there, and she tells him that she likes him a lot and that he's a lot like Jamie, the dead brother.
Okay.
And then that's when we start to see that he is Jamie.
So
here's a little fun fact.
It's not a surprise at any point.
Those scars are supposed to be the scars from when Packard and his gang murdered him, like came in.
So they're supposed to be stab wounds?
Yeah, they're like stab wounds.
They're very consistent.
And it just makes that, I would have never in a million years put that together.
They don't look like stab wounds.
And then we get, if Packard's love scene was bad, this is to a hundredth degree more unsexy, yeah. Where Carrie and Jake, Charlie Sheen and Sherilyn Fenn make out and have a little sex scene in the watering hole, and it is so uncomfortable to watch.
I wrote swimming and sexing.
And the kissing is just really like, oh, did you know? Here's a crazy story. Huh. Guess who she was dating at this time who was on set the entire time?
Who?
Johnny Depp.
I don't.
I know. Okay. Anyway, I was not I was not happy about the sex scene because it made me uncomfortable. But the thing that made me the most uncomfortable was there was this one moment where they stop kissing and Charlie Sheen pulls back and closes his eyes and turns his head back. And it's so sensual that I was like, why is his expression the most like sensual part of this whole scene?
Yeah.
It was really uncomfortable.
It's that tiger blood.
It was.
Okay.
Then Street Gang is at the police station because they've rounded him up, and the sheriff's threatening them all to say, stay away from this guy, because the sheriff is starting to put it together. I think he's like, a little off about
honestly,
this guy.
Honestly, he's an idiot if he's not pulling it together at this point. He's following them nonstop, and he's like every other scene, he's putting it together.
No, not that they're like a street gang causing trouble, that Charlie Sheen's character might be something
Jake
he's not.
Jake is Jamie.
And then here I wrote that you're headbanging, sleeping again right here.
Oh, yeah. My notes become totally illegible at this point.
Also, I wrote a note here that says, why is it that Sorceress is the only film to date that you haven't fallen asleep through? Like, on paper, that should be the only film you fell asleep during.
There was no moment in which I should fall asleep in The Sorceress. Also, I've seen this movie, so I knew I wasn't really missing anything. I just knew it would be more like cars, thugs fighting, and lights.
Right.
Did I miss anything?
Yeah, you missed a lot.
And okay, so, take me through it.
Then we're back at Packard's Chop Shop. Billy Idol's playing, which is awesome. And then out of nowhere, this is a really funny scene. So Gutter Boy and
Skank
are in the chop shop. And the Wraith car comes like flying past Clint Howard, who's outside, like full speed, and just slams into the chop shop barn. And it blows up in like literally the largest explosion in cinematic history. It is insane. I was watching it with disbelief. I always remember it's a big explosion. But this time, when you have to take notes, do you realize that like you watch movies in a way that you've never seen them?
Yeah, because you have to remember all the details. And it actually,
the biggest explosion in the world.
I think it was in the previous shoot-up scene that Packard had been like, this whole place is filled with ethylene or something like that.
Oh, maybe that's why.
Yeah.
It blows up and it's massive. And
it's
then
big.
The cops arrive.
I woke up.
Clint gets he gets his moment finally in this movie to act. Because I've been like, they're really under using it. Like he's not being utilized to the Clint Howard degree. But then he gets his moment to overact and he's like, oh man. And he starts fessing up to Randy Quaid, like, I didn't know, I didn't want to be a part of this. Like, it got all out of hand, and he's like freaking out. And this is what's great. keep in mind, this giant building just blew up. There are deaths. Like,
did Skunk and Gutter Boy die?
Oh yeah,
in that?
Oh, okay, like, instantaneously. Yeah. Everything's like blown up. Everybody's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And Clint Howard is actively telling the sheriff, "I knew about it all."
Yeah.
And Randy Quaid is like totally cool with it.
Okay.
And he just pats him and he's like, "It's okay, go home. Just go home.
We have no further questions here, boy."
I was like, "Well, that must be nice."
Yeah. This is where I wrote, stuff happens, I assume, fighting, driving, rafing, etc.
No. Okay, so let me tell you what happened.
Okay.
Okay, so Randy goes to the burger shop to question the younger brother,
Billy.
And there is a scene here where he has a cup of coffee and pulls out the sugar thing and pours it. And I thought, I kind of think it was a joke. There's no way this was not a joke. If you were to put like a measuring cup, he would have easily filled up a cup, like an actual cup of sugar. He just kept pouring it as he's talking, like full stream coming out of that sugar pour. And I couldn't take my eyes off of it. Okay, I'm glad I mentioned that. It was really important.
Though, I think that is.
Okay, so he doesn't care at all about the punks' deaths. Like, he doesn't...
No, nobody
Nobody
does.
Cares about the punks.
Their names are Gutter Boy and Skank.
But he's questioning it. This is where, like, Randy Quaid's really starting to put it all together. Then we flash to Jake. He tells Carrie that he's come a long way for her, but it's his time's just about over. And then Packard comes in. He shows up at the burger joint, beats up the younger brother, and
beats
kidnaps Carrie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Billy gets up and he's like, he says something really funny. Like, "You chicken shits. You just let her, you let him take her." It's a really funny overacting.
Salty. He's sassy.
And he says, so they're in the car driving. He's kidnapped her now. And he's like, she's
Packard
like, "What's your plan?"
And Carrie?
Yeah. And he
What's
says,
"What's your plan? Give me a step by step."
He says, "You're mine. That's it. We're going to Santa Barbara." And I just didn't know what the plan was.
To retire?
I don't know. But it's really weird. It's so bad. This whole scene.
Yeah.
The acting. I love her and all, especially because of Twin Peaks. But yikes. This whole scene is...
This is so early in her career.
Yeah. And it's also like what makes the Wraiths so amazing. She says a lot of stuff and then
words come out of her face,
but then the best is her delivery. She does a lot of, Cheryl Lynn Fenn delivery where she does real soft. "You know what? Oh, come on, man. You know, she talks, everything's like real soft." And she does this heated moment where he's like worked up. I think he's hit her at one point.
Yeah.
He's saying, "You're mine." He's kidnapped her. And then she just goes really softly. She goes, "Packard, you're pathetic." But this is supposed to be
sick burn.
But I imagine in the script, it was supposed to be like a major moment where she's like screaming.
"You're pathetic!
Packard, you're pathetic."
She whispers it in his ear.
Okay, then we move forward. Final race. Wraith shows up while Mariah sleeps is what I wrote.
I'm full asleep, head on pillow at this point.
Turbo interceptor windows are totally cool because they're like way around the side of the car. But I thought just because I driving home the other day, I got a chip and the whole windshield split. And I thought, man, the turbo interceptor, if that got a chip going down those highways.
That's custom.
Yeah, good luck with that. Cops come, race continues. There's awesome music.
Lots
I wrote
racing.
Mariah doesn't know what she's missing. And then
I feel like I missed racing.
Yeah, you did, but it's pretty cool. And then the Wraith car and Packard's car play kind of a game of chicken and hit head on.
Collision.
Massive explosion.
I mean,
everything.
They've always been on a collision course, haven't they?
That's true.
Okay.
They're a lot like on Killer Workout.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember when the two main guys were like
destined
to hurt each other?
Mm-hmm.
They just
had to fight.
Just had to happen. Just without the cool kickboxing.
I wore the garbage bag.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Okay.
So everything, this car, Packard's car is obliterated. There is nothing left. But the cops come up and somehow in this wreckage where everything is probably like max 3 inches chunks of metal. That's everything is in pieces.
Yeah.
But there's Packard's body.
Just fine.
Fully intact with like the black eyes. It's so funny. And then Wraith pulls up. afterwards. Uh-huh. This is kind of like nighttime scene. Pulls up, sees Carrie. He gets out. He's in his robo gear. Morphs into Charlie Sheen, which is really funny because he does this like, ooh, like shake.
Shiver it off.
Yeah. And he says something stupid about, like after his quiver, he says like, I can't do that again. It was a really weird scene. Like it tickles him to transform. Okay. I don't know. And then this is where she puts it together and she finds out he's Jamie. But he has one more thing he has to do first.
Yeah. He has to go help Billy.
Yeah. So he goes to visit his brother, who is an idiot. Like, has no clue what's going on.
Well, obviously, there's been some sort of enchanted spell.
Yeah.
Over their eyes so that they can't identify him until he allows it, I think.
I guess. No clue. And then he's like, who are you, bro? And he's like, that's right. That's who I am. And then hands him the keys to the turbo and the receptor.
I did wake up here and he goes, hey, Jake, who are you? And then he's weeping. Jake? Davey? Or whatever his name was. What was his name?
It wasn't Davey, it was Jamie.
Jamie, okay.
That doesn't happen just yet.
Oh.
He screams, he runs out, he sees the turbo interceptor, and then he's like, come back, bro! But he's calling him bro, like, bro.
You're my brother.
He's not smart. Well, no, not like my brother. He's just like, hey, bro.
But he's saying bra, and it kind of transitions from bra to brother?
Kind of. And he's not very smart. Then this is the moment where he's standing out by himself in the middle of the street in the dark, and he's left. Charlie Sheen has left. And then this is like, he says, hey, Jake, who are you?
Oh, yeah.
And then this is where he goes. He goes, Jake, Jamie. And we are done with the Wraith.
No. You forgot to mention that Jake picks up Carrie. And they drive off into the moon, like toward up a hill into a giant moon, like a moon that's like 50 times the size of the actual moon. Because I wonder, is she dying with him or does he get to live a second life somewhere else?
I have no clue.
It's a mystery. But so Jamie and Carrie are back together.
Yeah. And so you were like in this, you were invested in this one.
I tried.
Okay.
I also tried to just give in and go with what my body told me, and it was sleep.
Okay. I love this movie.
It's a good movie.
It's so much. All right. Well, there you go. There's the Wraith. I'm surprised you didn't fall asleep during the recording of
this. Well, we kind of joked that I should fall asleep, and I did yawn several times.
Yeah.
Because it's 3 a.m.
It is not even kind of 3 a.m. All right. So that's that. I hope you had fun listening to it.
Thanks, I did.
Okay. You can subscribe and download some of our previous episodes.
Please do. Subscribe on at Laser Graves on Instagram.
Well, you can follow on Instagram at Laser Graves.
Follow.
You can subscribe on Podbean, on Spotify, on iTunes is the main one. You can give us a 5-star rating, a review.
That really helps us.
Tell
if
your
you
friends,
would do that.
Tell your neighbors.
Oh, actually, if you secretly subscribe your friends to our podcast, we would appreciate that. It would be funny. Oh. Try it.
Wow. Okay. There you go.
Wink.
And we'll be back next week with another one. So thanks for listening, guys. Ooh. And gals.
Okay.
And peoples.
Oh, too many Z's.
Yeah, because you're about to fall asleep.
Bye.